Big week for the law, for the legislature, rather, and hearing the annual budget address, also known as the State of the State.
That's right, and that's always a big deal, whether it is or isn't. It's always a big deal because it does give the governor an opportunity to stand. This was his last State of the State address. He's termed out at the end of this year, and he acknowledged that, and so he did kind of do what at least one senator called a victory lap, although I'm not sure how many of the victories he espoused would be victories from some of our perspectives, particularly from the people in the state of Missouri who may still be suffering from a slow economy and a lack of good jobs and so on. It's interesting that the governor did talk about we were really drawing in business, we were doing all these other things, but at the same time, if you go out into the highways and byways, you don't necessarily find that same message from there. The governor has done at least one thing that I think is admirable. I don't know how much was completely due to him, but certainly as the chief executive of the state, he has to have some credit for it. And that is to reduce the size of government in terms of the number of employees. I don't think he's reduced the scope of government, but he has, in fact, reduced the size of government in virtually every department. Now, there are a few exceptions. Agriculture has grown a little bit. The financial institutions, employment in those bureaucracies have grown. Public safety has grown, and a lot of people will think that's good because we have been down in some of our public safety areas, and it's probably good that that's grown. The judiciary has grown. I don't know how good that is. There might be some questions there, and public defender has grown, which we do frequently hear that we're not really sufficiently defending those that can't defend themselves, and that is a part of justice that's very important. So there are some of those that I don't quibble with, but overall, during the governor's 8 years, 7 years now, and in his eighth year, the total employment of the state of Missouri has gone down over 5,000 employees, and he should get credit for that. I think that's an admirable thing. Now, when he begins to talk about the economy, there's room there for different perspectives. I've heard it said that the mean salary for Missourians has gone down during his administration by roughly $5,000 a year. That certainly is not helpful if you're a family and you are making $5,000 a year less than you were 8 years ago. If you look at some of the places that the state has not shrunk, one of those would be the state budget, because the state budget has grown all but, I think, 1 year maybe it didn't grow during his administration, but every other year it's grown. Now, we have to take part of that responsibility as the legislature. We're the ones who ultimately send him a final budget. But in his budget, as he described in the State of the State, we could identify almost $500 million of new expenditures that would be above what we spent last year. That's in the face of his desire to have more taxes so that we can do better on our roads. We certainly have work to do on the roads. I don't think you can justify that Missourians are not paying enough taxes. I think it's that we're not spending that money in the right places. And an example of that, the governor once again called for expansion of Medicaid. Under his administration, we've seen 100,000 people added to the Medicaid rolls. We see more people on food stamps than we've ever had before in Missouri. You know, this is not the definition of a successful administration in terms of the finances and the economy. One of the things that we did not hear the governor talk about last night was a measure of prosperity. I mean, he claims he wants job creation. I'm not sure just exactly what that means, because the thing that creates jobs is prosperity. As businesses are prosperous, as individuals are prosperous, they support businesses. And as those businesses become prosperous, they need more employees. And there you have your job creation. There you have your economic development, is by allowing people to keep more of their own money, to spend it as they please, to support businesses who then hire employees. And then we begin to see them compete for employees and wages go up. But government continues to step in with programs and plans that fight against our small businesses. And I think that's difficult. And one example of that, just this week, I received word that a major employer in Lamar, Missouri, now it's just under 100 employees, that might not seem major to the cities, but to a community the size of Lamar or a county the size of Barton, that's a significant problem. That company is planning to go out of business. And all those employees were just notified this week of the kind of the schedule that that's going to happen in and how long it's going to be when that they have employment and how soon that the layoffs will begin to start. But that's significant. You're going to have a hard time telling those Thorco employees that things are better in Missouri and that businesses are just dying to come here. I think that there are things in the state of the state that simply were not reflective of the conditions in Missouri. That's always a concern. I would like to hear at least frank discussions of what are the real problems we face, and if there is a government role, how the governor sees that role. And I don't think we heard that last night.
And I know after State of the State, the Senate Appropriations Committee chair talked about having just received the supplemental budget for the remainder of the current fiscal year, which ends on June 30th of this year.
That's right. And that is another shocker because, once again, and I think our appropriations chair is in his eighth year here in the legislature, and he made the comment that he had never received a supplemental budget request this large before. This is the largest one in his, and maybe the largest one ever. I don't know, because they've been larger in recent years than they used to be, but it was almost a half of $1 billion. It was $500 million that the governor asked for in his supplemental budget. Now, one of the things that I think sometimes my constituents don't fully understand is how that split up and maybe the politics that goes into that, but 78% of that $500 million is social services, basically welfare, whether it's Medicaid increases or whatever it is. This last year, our budget was reflected some of the increases that in terms of taxes and revenues that we had received. There was around $400 million. It was just a little bit under $400 million new revenues that were coming into the state. Every dollar of that went to Medicaid. And yet the governor's talking about he wants to expand Medicaid. You have to throw up your hands on some of this and ask the question. But because the legislature has been unwilling to do that, then the governor can play some other games with that supplemental budget. He can move money around there. He can make commitments and then come back to the legislature and say, well, I've already made these promises and I already told the pharmacist that we would pay for this, or I already told this group of professionals we would pay for this, and now the legislature is going to have to appropriate money in the supplemental budget. And so we are seeing that almost $500 million supplemental budget, 78% of which is social services, and the governor wants us to deal with that and then also to increase spending according to all the measures that he identified in his State of the State. And at the same time, he wants us to put more money on roads. Some of these things, you just have to shake your head and say, what are we thinking? How does this money just come out of thin air? And it doesn't. It has to come from the taxpayers, from my constituents and the constituents of my colleagues here in the Senate.